Brian Kilmeade from Fox and Friends, Fox News Channel, on the phone with us from Washington, D.C. as he's about to hop a plane, so he gets just a couple minutes with him. Brian, were you at the State of the Union last night? What was your role in Trump's address?
Well, number one, my role was to watch it. We had to get up, as you know, do Fox and Friends 6 to 9. And then we went to the White House, where our radio show was invited to do the show from the White House. I left television a little bit early, and we talked to General Kelly, at which time he revealed that we're absolutely releasing the memo, unlike Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who said we're thinking about it.
Okay.
So we made some news, but we also had Gary Cohn, OMB director, Mick Mulvaney, and the brand new HHS Health and Human Services director. So they feel great about last night's speech. They really do. I've seen times where they're spinning. They're not spinning. They're not spinning. They are really happy. I think they should be. I don't know how you guys or what your listeners say, but they're pretty. I mean, I thought he was really good. He was calm. I mean, number one, we both give speeches.
Right.
To give an hour speech at that pace, written when he used to ad libbing, and to not be too sedate, and to not be too pumped up, you know, and knowing that you have a live audience and half of which don't like you and hopes you die. So I thought it was great.
Any idea what was on that Kennedy guy's face during the rebuttal? Any idea?
He looked like some type of chapstick.
It looks like somebody dipped his face in Vaseline.
Yeah, well, I mean, what was that? But as we had Marco Rubio on today, and he said, you know, he was famous for getting a sip of water during it.
Right.
And he said, listen, I'm never going to criticize anybody. At least he's out there trying. And we both know, and I don't make me feel bad for bringing it up, it was bizarre, but we both know that, you know, you can't shake that. You can have the best speech of your life. If you do something where your collar's popped up or you have something on your forehead,
right,
or you, you know, or your mouth gets dry,
yep,
that's all people will talk about.
You know, there were a couple times last night during the speech where, you know, all the Republicans, I think it was during immigration, all the Republicans stood up. Rubio was the only one sitting down.
So I asked him that. And he said, doesn't mean anything. He said, I'm exhausted. I go to bed at 9 o'clock. I only stand up two or three times.
Right.
I go, okay.
Oh,
I go, man, I thought that was something you didn't like about immigration. And he goes, no. And he, by the way, what bothers him is that he had an immigration plan that included the end of chain migration, the end of the lottery system,
really,
agreed to by Democrats. And he was looked at when he ran for president as soft on immigration. And he, it's a little bit ironic now that the guy who told him he was soft on immigration is now asking him to do something he wasn't prepared to do, and that's accept 1.8 million, kids who are illegal.
Wow, I didn't know Rubio had that already, and Trump had criticized him. So, I mean, that's Trump kind of moving to the center, right?
I mean, I'm not criticizing Trump either. I think he's got to get stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
You and I, we have to get stuff done. We've got to compromise. So he's just saying, he's like, listen, this is the reality. I need 60 votes. I don't have it. This is what I got to do.
Right.
By the way, that's what Rubio was saying. You know, I needed to get it done. I thought I could get it done as an Hispanic Republican. I have some street cred there. So, you know, so he did it and whatever. He says, I can play a big role in this because the only reason they won't accept Trump's deal is because it's Trump. They hate Trump.
Talking to Brian Kilmeade from Fox and Friends, Fox News Channel, a few minutes before he has to catch a plane. Brian, big story. Did Melania wear a white suit to troll Donald, or did she wear a cream to... What's the big deal?
There is no big deal. It's
right.
Absolutely insane for somebody to speculate like that. I just saw it, like kids and relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can that a little bit be out of bounds? I mean,
right.
Yeah, obviously, something happened in 2006, didn't enhance their relationship, and I understand it. But I just thought that could be. I know it's not a no-go zone, but with all the legitimate issues and all the crazy things that Trump, the different things Trump does, maybe you could focus on that.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of,
Is the speech a win for Trump?
No question. What about you guys? Yeah. What do you think?
I thought so. I know.
He pumped me up a little bit.
I know. I walked out of it saying, I just said this earlier too. Like, he said things that I was in agreement with. Now, don't act like a dick and do it. Don't act like, don't brag, don't be, just go out and do those things or try to do those things. You're not going to get all of it done because obviously you can't just go do it. You have to get the other people involved too. And they just want to crap on every idea that you have. But what he said, I felt good about. I just want to see him go out and do it. And do it, humble is never going to be the word that's going to work with him. But do it in a collective, you know, and just get it done. Does that make sense?
I think so.
You know, I just want him to go do the things and get the people around you to do it with you. And don't sit there, I, which Raj made a good point. He didn't say a lot of I's last night.
Did you notice that? He said we a lot, apparently.
But when you talk about each other, it's always I. It's always you guys both think you're both more important than the other.
Right.
Here he goes, trying to stir the pot again.
Why you got to do it? We're having a nice conversation with you.
Okay. Hey, guys, I got to run.
All right, Brian.
You can heal your relationship.
We'll work on it. We'll be better next time we talk to you. How about that?
Okay, see you later.
Have a good flight. See you, buddy. Thanks. Brian Kilmeade from Fox and Friends, the Fox Morning Show. And he was in Washington now flying back to his home in New York. And he wasn't at the State of the Union, but, you know, like you said, he talked to a lot of important people this morning.
So he did say they're going to release that memo? Did he say that?
He did say that, yeah.
Yeah.
That Trump said it very strongly that he would release that memo.
Yeah.
See the difference in that microphone?
My it's goodness. Huge.
Yeah, for some reason, Brian couldn't hear me on the other microphone.
Yeah, I would sell my
that's
mother
why
to
I was
have
all,
that.
I was all like, foggy like that.
Now you know why I have an inferiority complex.
Yeah, that's the bad microphone right there.
That's the best microphone in the room. The one that you have is the best microphone in the room.
See, I feel like it sounds just like you.
No. Brett?
But that not one over there sounds like that.
That mic stands out.
It does. All right, so there's Kilmeade.
And, you know, I think it's by design, to be quite honest with you.
I didn't design this studio.
I'm only kidding. John on line four. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I'm a Democrat, and I just want to say about his speech, you know, just like everything else Trump has done, them just words that somebody has written out. You know, this guy, mm-hmm. he'll tell you one thing and he'll do something totally different. You know, just like Mexico was supposed to pay for the wall, I guess we're all Mexicans now because he's pushing that off onto the taxpayers. You know,
well, John,
and like he's talking about African-American employment has went down since he's been in office. In a mm-hmm. year, do you think that many people have hired that many African-Americans? I don't think so. This guy's selling dreams. He's been selling the dreams. He's been a dream seller since he's been on the face of the earth. That's why he's a bad investor. He rips people off. He's a con man, and he's going to always be a con man. And he's just conning. He's right now, he's just conning the people. And for everybody that's following him and think that this guy is society's answer, let me tell you something. If he's so good, why is he constantly mentioning Obama? Obama's been out of office, but everything that he's done, Obama did that. Obama did this. Obama did that. Come on.
I agree with you there.
Obama, you can't be driving a car and then get a wheel to Roger, and then Roger have an accident, and he say, "Well, JP did that." You know, come on, you got to take credit for something.
One thing, you know, and Monica kind of asked me, like, could I have gone in with a blank slate? The one thing I will say that bothered me last night was the fact that he did say, like, mention previous administration, and they did this, and we're, you know, it's the I'm better than the last guy, the last guy, the last guy, the last guy. Don't tell me about the last guy. We spent eight years with the last guy.
Mm-hmm.
Forward. Mm-hmm. Forward. Forward, forward, forward. I don't care what happened in the past. Forward, forward, forward. Mm-hmm. You know? I understand that's all he's got to compare himself to. He's got nothing else to compare himself to. But don't compare. You know, here's a...
See, I don't mind previous administration, but I mind if he said Obama or if he said Clinton or what Bush, you know.
If you look at it like this, when Obama was in office, the Republicans tried to stop everything that he tried to do.
Right.
And
that's
what the Democrats are trying to do with Trump, because Trump is trying to quash everything that Obama did. Now, I ain't gonna lie to you. Some things have changed and been better. So Obama did good, but Trump is trying to claim the credit for stuff that, Like his tax plan, you ain't even started feeling the effects, and he's trying to say that this is a great deal. What's great about it? It ain't nothing but a plan that you put in action. But I ain't starting to feel no benefit from it. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think nobody else has, because, you know, the regulations and everything else, ain't nobody even filed taxes yet. So how the hell is the tax plan benefiting you?
Well, the businesses know, and what a lot of the businesses are doing is they're in a position to now hire more people And that's how
these, and hand out money.
And hand out bonuses. Damn. And these car companies. These car companies.
That ain't a guarantee. That ain't a guarantee that they're going to do that.
Right, but these car companies.
Just like I heard this morning, like you said, carrier came back in, but carriers already laying people off.
Mm-hmm. So, right. That's true. That got reversed from before the. But you can't deny the Home Depot and whatever all the other companies are that are handing out bonuses. I mean, that's what they're doing. But that's only thousands of people. There's 300 million plus people in the country.
And these car companies that are bringing their factories back into the United States, they're only doing that because of the tax cuts.
And that
creates jobs. So,
you shouldn't have gave them a tax cut. You should have fined them and made them come back. Fine them for every year that they're in the foreign land and make them come back instead of paying the fines.
I was going to say the fine wouldn't make them come back, though.
The fine wouldn't, right.
You make them come back because you'll make a lot of money in the future
back
years.
Back to something you said before, John. I was saying before, but I didn't like the fact that he kept comparing himself mm-hmm. to other things. And my son is playing on a soccer team, and he went to practice with these kids a bunch of times. The first time he came off the field, second time he came off the field, he's like, "Daddy, I don't want to play on this team." Mm. I said, "Why?" Mm-hmm. And he said, "Because I'm the worst one here." And I said, "All right, well, you'll tell coach how you feel about it. And, you know, whatever you want to do, man, I'm cool with it." So he went up to the coach, and the coach's like, "Well, why don't you want to play?" And he said, "Because I feel like I'm the worst one here." He goes, "Don't compare yourself to anybody but yourself. You compare yourself to your progress."
Mm-hmm.
And when he said that, when he said those words to my son, I knew that that coach was the right guy for my son to be playing for.
Your son's still playing.
And I'll never forget those words. Mm-hmm. Don't compare yourself to anybody else. Compare yourself to your progress, your growth, the job that you're doing, from where you started to where you move forward. And that's why I keep saying forward, forward, forward.
Mm.
Hey, thanks for the call, John. Appreciate it very much.
Yeah, very cool. Bill is on line one. Hey, Bill.
Yeah, I know everybody, you know, says things like you don't want to hear him hold the previous president accountable or whatever, but I think we should. Republicans and Democrats alike, everything, every unconstitutional thing Obama did and George W. Bush did before him where he sold the country out, I want it all front and center. If we can prosecute, I think we should. I deal with this every day of my life at work, everything. Incompetent people. The majority of people are incompetent, and I constantly am told, "Well, just don't worry about what they did. Don't worry about that. Mm-hmm. Let's just let him keep on doing his thing, and maybe nobody will notice that he's incompetent." I think incompetent people should be held accountable. And
how are you going to hold Obama accountable now? He's out of office. He did 8 years. He's out of office. What good does holding him accountable?
Just in his fundraising ability alone, if the American people are more knowledgeable about what actually happened, it will keep him from being able to fundraise for the people that will continue to put his plans in effect. That's the biggest thing that we can do.
They don't want. Nobody wants the truth. Nobody wants that. They just want to keep walking around.
People do want the truth. We're tired of hearing the crap.
I think we should demand the truth, and then once we hear it, we should realize.
The problem is you don't even know what the truth is anymore.
That is correct.
You don't know what's true. There's stuff coming, there's BS coming at you from. You can't handle the truth, Bill. You know? You don't know. Nobody knows what's true and what's true and this, that, and the other thing. I don't even know what's on this memo. I don't even care what's on this memo.
When politicians talk, you don't even know if they're telling you the truth or not.
It's horrible.
You really don't. And then someone will come up with, here's that sentence, and here's the truth about the sentence, and I'm not sure they're telling the truth either. That's horrible when we're at that point. I don't know if the press is telling the truth. Then you got to pick and choose. Cornelius is on line six. What's up, Cornelius?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I just want to combat the last black guy. I'm a black guy, all right? And all right. I'm a Trump supporter. And we have a problem with jigaboos like him that still live in the 60s and think that Republicans are goddamn racist, and it's not that way. You know, they have to start learning to stop hating Republicans just for being Republicans and look at policies and understand how. I have a guy in here in my town who was he owns a cleaners, and he's going to be able to hire two more people, and it's a black owned business. And he's happy to have Trump as president.
Wow.
You know, but these guys are still living in the 60s when it was the Democrats that were the ones that were supporters of all the Jim Crow laws and still benefiting from all the dumb stuff that was happening back in the 60s.
Yeah.
And they got to start living in the past and realize the future is us being together and not this identity politics that's ruining everybody in this country.
Hmm. So just look at what's going on now and choose which party you think would benefit you or your family, or whoever more.
Learn the policies and learn what's actually happening.
Stop
going back on what you think you know and actually know something.
Hmm. All right, Cornelius, you make good points. I mean, that's good for anybody, any color, any party. I mean, if you're going with what you're just because your parents voted that way, or you're going on old.
Exactly. That's how I was when I
old stances 18,
voted for Clinton twice. You know, just because that was you were supposed to be Democrat as a black guy. It wasn't until September 11th and I realized I was in the wrong party all these years.
I was going to ask you what flipped you.
That's how I made my way.
And why did September 11th flip you to a Republican?
When the towers fell and all of a sudden Democrats are blaming George Bush, I'm like, how do you go from 15 guys flying jets into the buildings and you're gonna blame a whole party? That's how I realized, you know, identity politics was just stupid, and just start learning more and reading more and get more information and realizing how, you know, the Democratic Party just uses blacks for votes. They don't actually do anything to improve the black community. So, you know, that's when I realized, you know, screw those guys.
Hmm. All right. Hey, thank you. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
Yeah. I kind of wanted to ask him a black question, see if he was really black.
Why?
I'm just curious.
JR, why did you think he wasn't a black guy?
I don't know. I mean, it's just like a lot of the time that when people call in, obviously you can't see them. And, you know, I'm not going to go based off, you know, how they sound, because I know me personally, I don't sound as, you know, a black or Hispanic. Like, I don't sound like anything. Mm-hmm. But I feel like a lot of the time, a lot of the people, to get their point across, they're like, oh, I'm black. And they try to make their point.
So you think that was a white guy?
I don't know. I mean, it was just kind of, he sounded different on air than he did on the phone, so it was just kind of different for me.
What would be the black question you would have asked him?
I would have been like, what's your favorite soft drink? If you would have said grape, I would have been like, wrong, it's Sprite.
So grape is the stereotypical what white guys think black guys like.
Yeah, exactly.
And Sprite is really what all black guys drink. Like,
usually.
Black guys love Sprite. Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah. Yeah, to be honest.
See, I don't think the grape thing's true, but I couldn't name one soda that I feel like is what black guys drink. I can't even nail that down.
Yeah.
Orange. Orange.
It's a good guess, though.
That's interesting, JR. Is there another one? Like, have you had a second test question for him?
My second test question is, let me see. What was your first car? And if you would have said either
86 Cutlass.
Yeah, I would have been like, yeah, all right, I got you, bro. that
82 Datsun?
Maybe a Chevy Impala.
Would be an okay answer?
That would have been acceptable. A Honda Civic, that would have been acceptable too.
What would have shown that he was a white guy?
If he would have said Cadillac. Because you can't afford that. That can't be your first car off rip. You can't afford
it. What white guy has a Cadillac for a first car?
Monica, I hope you're listening, because I'm not the one throwing stereotypes around. I get popped for it all the time, but I'm not the one throwing stereotypes around.
We're just having a conversation.
Oh, is that it? Okay, I just want to make sure. Just having conversations, I can throw them around with no problem.
Yeah. I'll tell you, JR, over the weekend, I was playing poker, and on my right side with this guy was this guy called H.
Okay.
Big. I mean, this guy is the friend. An awesome guy. I've known him for a long time.
Does it stand for honky?
No, it does not. H is a big black guy. Anyway, he's like plumber by trade and a bathroom remodeler by trade, whatever. So we're talking, and on my left side is this girl, Vicky, who's a friend of his from the neighborhood where they live. So the two of them are talking across me about how, you know, we're playing poker in a club. Well, how they play in the black clubs.
Oh, okay.
So it was like, I'm sitting there, and it was just like, and I said to H, I said, what do you mean in the black clubs? He said, we're playing cards. And I said, oh, and what is that? He goes, someone's house. And he says, you know, he said, when I first came to these poker clubs, he said, I had to learn to act differently. Now, this is a guy he's like 58 years old now. But he said, when I first started playing the clubs maybe 10 years ago, he said, I came with a black attitude from those house clubs. He said, I used to, you know, in the black clubs, it's different. I said, how is it different? I said, you're playing cards. How is it different?
It's a little bit more aggressive probably, right?
Yes, exactly what he said. He said, the whole thing is, he said, I had my guard up. I'm tougher. I have more attitude. He says, always there's something going on where someone says something, somebody's offended. He says, I had to go with a knife in my pocket. He goes, I had to go armed because I never knew what would happen. Mm-hmm. I said, are you serious? I said, it's that different from that club and this club? He says, yeah, and I would come here. And he says, I would get upset, and they'd throw me out of here. He's a big guy, too. I don't know how they threw him out. But he says, they threw me out. He says, because I brought the wrong out. He says, now I know. He says, I don't have to be that. I don't have to have my back up. He goes, I don't have to walk that same way in here that I had to in the other club. And it really, like, really opened my eyes to the whole thing. And then they both start talking about that one time this guy Baines got shot. Like, oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Like,
he got shot. Another girl got shot and killed. Another girl got shot. This girl was pregnant, got shot.
In the same poker club?
Yeah, he was in somebody's house.
Oh, wow.
But they talk about how normal, like, they talk about it like it's nothing.
Yeah.
And to me, that would be like the one time in my life I saw someone get shot, which I've never seen.
And I'd still be in therapy over it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, I see what you're saying, how, you know, the black experience is very different, and that's why you could, like, almost test Cornelius.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you didn't get a chance to.
I know, I tried.
I don't know. It was really, really eye-opening to really, really just sit there and be honestly privileged to understand what where H comes from, for example.
Yeah. And the way of life is so much different, especially, you know, think about it. You're both playing poker. You're both playing the same game. But
right.
It's utilized different in a different atmosphere, you know, in terms of culture. So I totally get where you're coming from. It's yeah, a lot of this stuff is different.
Just where he came from was just such a different experience, you know. And even he said that in his job, he says, you know, you get a certain amount of money for, like, say, doing a bathroom job for 8 or 12 days or whatever.
Uh-huh.
He says, as soon as the accountant changed, he said there was a Hispanic guy running the business, running the books. And he says, everything was all fine. And then he said it changed up. And another guy came in. And now that guy, not Hispanic, came in. And now he's cutting his wages down. Now he's down to way less, like maybe less than $200 a day to do this job over 8 days or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's really good at his job.
Right.
And he was making like $450 a day. So, like, this guy is cutting him back, and he goes, you know, I just got to move on to another place. I'm 58 years old, he's saying, and I've been doing this for 35 years or whatever, and I'm an expert at it, but I've got to move. And he goes, it's just the way it is. He says, I bet you the white guy who does the bathrooms, he owns his own business and got it, or when he works for a guy, the price is set, and he doesn't have to move because they dropped the price by more than half.
Oh, wow.
He got down to $200 a day from $450. I mean, that's a big difference for a guy with that kind of skill.
Right.
You know, and I mean, so I thought, I don't know, I thought it was pretty interesting and eye-opening, so.
Hmm.
And I thought it went to your whole test. It's just a different life, right?
No, it is. Hmm. Wow.
All right, Roger and JP, we're on the bone. Real Raw Radio.
Roger and JP on 102.5 The Bone.